It's thrilling to discover that Chicago's Tony-winning Looking Glass Theater has reopened after having to take a pause in its programming for a year or so. And now they have a new show, a new artistic director, Casey Foster, and a brand new lobby. And I was just in that lobby seeing Circus Quixote. And Casey, I love what you've done with the place.
Oh, I cannot take all the credit. My gosh.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 954. Welcome back, Looking Glass. Chicago's Tony-winning Looking Glass Theater has returned from its pandemic-related programming pause with an inviting new lobby space, a wonderful new version of Don Quixote told in the signature Looking Glass style, and longtime ensemble member turned artistic director Casey Foster, who spoke with me about how Looking Glass survived the pandemic and returned to producing great work.
We've had an incredible architecture and design team, one of whom designed the theater originally. So Working Group One and Wheeler Kearns are the powerhouse of designers that put that whole vibe together. So yeah, thrilled how it turned out and excited for what the next phases could be.
Well, and you're a longtime ensemble member with Looking Glass. How did you grab the brass ring, draw the short straw? How did you end up as the new artistic director of Looking Glass?
It's a really good question that I myself am sometimes mystified by. But, you know, I think that COVID with theaters all over the place was a very difficult time. And as we've seen, there was a lot of transition that came afterward. I think that Heidi and Rachel Fink did such an incredible job getting us to where, you know, we never had to go in debt. We paused before we had to let all staff go, you know. So it was such a challenging time. And I think when we returned and we opened back up, the challenges didn't stop there. And I think that people needed a break. But here I was hanging out, just like, hey, how about this? Hey, how about that? You know, so I just brought a lot of energy and enthusiasm to it. And I think perhaps, and I'm just guessing, you know, but perhaps because of my many years of self-producing, that might have made me a good candidate as well. And just my goal in life as a human is to bring people together in a room and have some laughter and joy. So these are some of the pieces that maybe got me into this position. But it's all been such a team effort, so yeah. I can't take any credit because from the very moment I joined until this point, there's this incredible staff and the ensemble and the board, and you know, so it's definitely a group.
Yeah, and I've seen some of Looking Glass's social media posts featuring you, and you definitely bring a livelier energy than, say, Andy White, my good friend.
I love Andy so much. Oh my gosh.
Andy's the best.
He's in America right now. He's incredible.
Yeah. But what you say is so right. That ensemble ethos, which is, I think, important to Chicago generally, but to Looking Glass, certainly, specifically. And I love what you say that you survived the pandemic without going into debt. I mean, as we discovered on our earlier podcast recorded many years ago, both Reduced Shakespeare Company and Looking Glass Theater Company got their starts kind of at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland. And we both are hardy, artist-driven companies that survived the pandemic through scaling down, through pausing. So my hat is off to you guys. What made it possible for you to reopen, first of all, and to design this great new welcoming lobby space that seems to be welcoming not just to audiences coming in to see the show, but people wandering into the water tower just off the streets of Michigan Avenue?
Yeah, well, what made it possible, and this was before COVID, we had received a grant from the state of Illinois, a capital grant that could only be spent on this project. So that was a $2 million grant. And while we're going through all of these incredible challenges and difficult decision-making, we've got this $2 million. And I think when the pause came and when we went through a strategic planning with all of the company board, staff, and ensemble, you know, the first question we had was, should we keep doing this? Are we insane? But that was one of the things that was like, but wait, let's imagine if we do keep doing this and we use this $2 million and actually create that space out there and what opportunities it might bring. And that's kind of what we're taking really baby steps in learning right now is, you know, we don't have the full staff size that we need to truly explore the potential for that outer lobby space, but we're already seeing, in addition to like around productions and people coming in and experiencing the theater in a traditional way, having that space open and available to people walking by or for new events that we haven't been able to program before, different educational courses, and we're able to bring back summer camp in a way that we haven't, whereas before we had to go off site. Now we can have it here in this gorgeous space. So there's a lot of potential with that, that new addition. And we're still kind of learning it. These first years, like first 1 to 2 to even 3 years, we're trying to figure out like what are the opportunities there that we haven't had before, and how can we do them?
The new show Circus Quixote, written and directed by Carrie and David Catlin, is a wonderful return to the sort of Looking Glass ethos, I suppose, and with great circus work by Sylvia Hernandez de Stasi, another friend of the both David and Sylvia have been on the podcast before.
Nice.
Has the mission of Looking Glass changed at all in this post-pandemic world and under your new leadership? As we look forward, do you envision Looking Glass doing more of the same?
That's a good question. I don't think the mission has changed, but I think our approach has had to change. You know, as you probably already heard, we can't produce as many shows a year. We can only do two. So something we have to consider is where we could have like a theme for a season or something like this. Now we just have two shows. So really trying to figure out like, what is that pair? And with this season, for example, Circus Quixote, as you've said, one of our like original Looking Glass members, David Catlin, and his spectacle that he brings in collaboration with Actors Gymnasium, that's like super iconic Looking Glass. So there's that. And then we pair it with one of our newest ensemble members, Atra Azdu, with Iraq But Funny, which is just the most genius comedy I've ever read, and that it follows five generations of Assyrian women. And as the subject kind of hints at, you know, there's heavy content, but you are learning while crying through laughter tears because of how well she handles all the material. So anyway, it's a spectacle in a different way, where Circus Quixote has kind of like that circus and physicality spectacle. Iraq But Funny has some projection art, and just the genius of the comedy is what makes it spectacular. So still kind of like following the mission, but how do we craft it with just these two shows and other programming? So our education programming has never stopped. We continue to do young ensemble, and that is also driven from within the ensemble. This year's young ensemble is produced or directed by Louise Lamson and Phil Smith. So just trying to keep everybody engaged and on mission. One other element that we've certainly toured before and been involved in co-producing partners before, but haven't made as hard of a push in past years, we are now trying to make sure that while we continue to create new and original work in this space, those beloved shows we can send out for tour. Like, can we send Moby Dick out again? Can we take Circus Quixote and send that out so that folks all over the nation and maybe someday beyond can experience Looking Glass while we can continue to create that new content here at home?
Hi, everybody. I'm Matt Walsh of the Upright Citizens Brigade, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We have two more weeks of performances of The Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel, at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. We run until March 30th, 2025, and MRT is offering a discount to RSC podcast listeners. Go to MRT.org or call the box office and mention or type in the discount code REDUCED50 for $50 tickets in the best seats in the house. Then next month and in May, we'll bring back our newly updated version of All the Great Books Abridged, performing it in Harrisonburg, Virginia, Louisville, Kentucky, Elyria, Ohio, Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Casey Foster, artistic director of the newly returned Looking Glass Theater in Chicago.
I love what you say, too, about, you're learning things while laughing through tears. For a while, there was a moment where theaters kept doing works that were important, in air quotes, that felt like, as they said in Succession, homework the show. But you're creating funny spectacles that are entertaining and something you can't get on your couch. And I think that's important too. And what Looking Glass offers so well is that this is the sort of live performance spectacle you can't get on Netflix. You have to come out to see in the theater and laugh with your be dazzled by, along with the people sitting next to you in the theater, including the night I went, a large group of children who were wildly having such a great time at Circus Quixote.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's what we need more than anything and more than ever is that shared experience. We've gotten so used to being at home, which is so nice. I love it, but it's healing to be in a room full of people and sharing an experience together. And I think that we have to retrain ourselves. Yes, you should leave and you should go do that thing because you're going to be so grateful that you did once you're there. That's the most important part.
I love what you said earlier too about that you love to bring people together. I know you as an actor and performer. Do you approach the work as the artistic director from an acting mindset? Are you also a writer and director for things I don't even know about?
Yes, so I have primarily with Looking Glass been a performer, and a lot of my work outside of Looking Glass, and I've worked with other theaters too as an actor, but I've produced a lot of original works, and most often they are movement and physical storytelling. So I haven't written many scripts, but I've produced and directed countless productions that are movement storytelling, which I get to do. You know, last summer for a Night Out in the Parks grant we received, we took a little mini circus production to some different parks, which I was able to use, you know, my skills in that. Like, I know how to put together a fun physical story that that folks of all ages, and you don't have to understand the English language to enjoy. So that's kind of where my favorite thing lives, though.
And you're,
I love some Shakespeare, so.
And you're a musician also, because didn't we do Backroom Shakes to get together?
Gosh, we did
a million years ago.
Wow, which one was that?
Merchant of Venice.
That's right. Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we did. Yes, I am a musician, primarily singer, since taking on this job, a lot of those are on hold. Though I'll pick up some stuff here and there, but I think that the opportunity to take on this role came at a really good time. I've got a 7-year-old who's in elementary school, and it was getting harder for me to take on shows where I'm not home at night. And the only time, so I think it came at a good point.
You're an actor manager in the classic sense, in the Shakespearean sense, and you are able to go out and put on a show. And I love that you've taken these skills that you have working on a micro level, should we say, moved into the macro level of running one of Chicago's major theater institutions. Does it feel intimidating at all, or do you go, oh no, this is what I do?
Both. Yeah. Some things feel very natural and feel like, oh, I'm totally qualified for this. And then there are other parts where I'm like, ooh, I don't know. You know, because this is my first time as an artistic director, part of that co-producing and touring element that we want to do, I don't know a lot of people on this level. So it's having to introduce myself and getting to know folks. That's been difficult. And also, before taking on this position, I've managed people, but I've never had to manage as many people's opinions as I do in this role. So that part is, you know, and that's the beauty of an ensemble company is I'm not the one that makes the decisions about the art. It's this group of people and how to get us all on the same page so that we're feeling good about the decisions that are made. So it's an interesting, and I don't know if you experience this at all, but I feel like the title artistic director is different in this, in Looking Glass or maybe any sort of ensemble ed company, because I don't make those decisions. So,
right. I remember having a similar conversation with Phil Smith years ago. You said that's the beauty of the ensemble, and beauty is doing an awful lot of work there.
Yes.
That is the complicated, rich beauty, as you said, of navigating and negotiating an ensemble of people, all of whom get a say. But that's the kind of theater we all like to do, right? It's kind of ensemble driven on stage and ensemble driven off stage.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The Looking Glass Theater production of Circus Quixote runs for 2 more weeks through March 30th, 2025. Go to lookingglasstheater.org for more information. Then send us your refurbished public space via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. Or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to Tilter at Windmills, Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Aaron Gilbreth. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Upright Citizens Brigade founding member Matt Walsh, currently co-starring in the new action film Novocaine. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 954 2860 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Will we get to see you in a Looking Glass show anytime soon, or will that have to wait until your 7-year-old is off on his own?
Who knows? I hope so. You know, we really hope to bring Steadfast Tin Soldier back as like a recurring holiday show. I'm not sure when we'll be able to do that, but you know, I love being in that show and it makes me laugh and cry every time I perform in it. So, you know, that there's potential. And I think especially now that I'm in starting my second year in, getting to understand the rhythm a little bit and when it might be possible for me to take on a project as an actor. So we'll see. But I'm sure someday, right?
Right. You can't keep a good girl down, right?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.